views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from LA, coming to you live from FEMA region number 6. Today is April the 18th, 2019. We have a live show for you today. At any time, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, don't hesitate. Give us a call. 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. See you in queue, and then we will definitely bring you up. We'd love for you to engage in that. So but before we get going into today's show, everyone, please continue or start to support Black Talk Radio Network, whichever applies to you. If you would give some of your financial energy, make a cash donation to this network, support this network monetarily, and you could do that by going to its website homepage of www.blacktalkradionetwork.com, or the best way to do it is to go and become a member inside of BTR Community, which is a social media platform where you can engage in all your social media activities without being as adversely affected. Please do that, and that will support the network for only $24 a year. You can then post inside of its social media platform in a more holistic way than which you can do in Facebook and the other tweeting, telling, and not be as adversely affected because it's a membership. So please definitely do that. Most people don't realize that there is a cost when you have FedBook and all those other things, and the cost is much higher than any monetary thing that you can do. It's actually compromising yourself and compromising your overall privacy in so many different ways. Here at BTR Community, your profile will not be sold to any person whatsoever or any organization. So please engage in that. Go on over there to BTR Community. You can find that at www.btrcommunity. Sign up and join for only $24 a year, and that will support the network, and we need to do it in order to stay on air. Please, 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 because we don't have any form of sponsorship at all. It's really done by the listeners and those that care about the message and the shows and productions, and the programming that this network does. So please definitely support it. For only $24 a year, you could do that. So that's one thing. Also, if you would like to acquire real money, which you should be doing, saving in real money, taking your cash and converting it into money, you could do that at Prosperity Mint. Go to www.prosperitymint.com, ProsperityMint.com, prosperitymint.com. Check out what's in inventory there. Then email info at prosperitymint. Say, hey, I'm a Tando Radio Show listener. Dave told me to to contact you. And that is just so that someone can actually, and please leave a number that they can reach you, text or otherwise, so that they can explain the overall buying process that's to your benefit. It won't be used for any sales call or anything else, okay? So please, definitely engage in that. Make sure you email them at info@prosperitymint. All right, so there we go. We're going to get into today's show, and we're going to look at what's in the news. And today's show is for Thursday, the 18th of April of 2019, when we partake and cooperate with this ready-made society, one will assassinate their own self-sanctity, is what today's show is. We kill ourselves in so many different ways by engaging in this ready-made society. So that's the today's show. I'm going to get into that. Anytime you'd like to get in on the conversation, don't hesitate. Give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. And my man Keith is away from studio today, but Keith, at any time, if you want to chime in, just unmute yourself. We'll definitely love to have you. I just want to say I appreciate Keith. You know, I clown him a lot, but it's all in jest. It's all in fun. But really, really do appreciate that, brother. So, Keith, if you wanted to unmute yourself at any time, let me know, and then I'll see you. Well, just let me know that you're there, and then I'll go to you, okay? All right, so here we go. Today's show, we're going to jump into what's in the news. Today's show, what's in the news, first article. And let me just say this before we get going in the what's in the news. There is a real, real direct movement for events that are going to be huge in the future. I don't know when they are all going to start to fall, but they're all going in the place. We're closer to it today than we were yesterday. And, you know, it's the things are already happening, and a lot of things have transpired, and the state of the everyday person around the world is pretty much, to me, it's a moments before disaster strikes. And I say that because of what's being set up and how that will impact everyone, and how that will impact people's daily lives, how that will impact future generations, how that will impact you as a living entity. And it's going to be and I just want that when these events start to unfold, for you to be in a position of advantage so that you won't be as negatively harmed by it, and you can make the best decisions that's in the best interest of yourself, your family, and the overall community. And the cycle that we're in, there are so many variables that have already been put into place. It's like stretching a rubber band. And in that stretching the rubber band, the more conditions that are added, it stretches the band even more. And it's just a matter of time before this thing starts to really pop. And I don't know what that event is that's going to set it off. But I do see that there will probably be a series of events that go off simultaneously or in response to other events that will bring in, usher in, and it's going to be a windfall. And before it gets very, very hectic, I think there will be the overall crash. You know, the crash will happen before the results of the crash is recorded. And so I just want us to be in the best position. And it's pretty apparent that these things are going to happen. So we're going to jump into what's in the news, and we can see some of these things. First article I got from South China Morning Post. North Korea ramps up pressure on the United States, asking the celebrity figurehead Secretary of State Mike Pompeo to step aside in future talks. You know, I like to call him Mike Pompeo, but it's Pompeo, because this dude to me is really, really one of these neocons that are very blunt in what they do, and it's disturbing. So check out that article. North Korea ramps up pressure on the United States to ask Mike to step aside in future talks. After testifying a mysterious new weapon, the country's foreign minister asked that reckless Pompeo be replaced during talks. So check out that article. Next article from RT International. North Korea tests a mysterious tactical guided weapon after failed Trump-Kim summit. Kim Jong-un has supervised the test of a new tactical guided weapon, and I believe these are tactical nukes, just months after the summit in Vietnam failed to achieve as a result of the U.S. continued to demand unconditional denuclearization before any sanctions were relieved. And this is where they're like, hey, get rid of this psychopath. That's not what they said, but they said get rid of this celebrity figurehead, Secretary of State Pompeo. And Pompeo is destroying relationships, intentionally so, around the world. And this is all a part of that chain of destruction that we're going to be seeing. So check out that article. Next article from Sputnik News. This one was War on the Poor. As the housing crisis soars, U.S. cities wave bans on sleeping in cars. What? This is... Wow. A proposal by city officials in San Diego, California, to reestablish a ban that restricted individuals from living in their vehicles on city streets is just another attempt to criminalize the city's poor. This is, and I'm going to tell you, the U.S. collectively has never gotten out of the Great Depression. It's just remained in a state of depression. And the degrees of it is the different things that we see. Once the austerity measures kick in, you will see how long the U.S. has been in a depression. And what I mean by that, when the disguise programs are removed, such as not being able to evict without a process, and then also government assistance, not only for individuals, because government assistance, the biggest welfare recipients are corporations and institutions.
And countries.
They consume more of it than anyone. But see, what they want to do is they want to put a face on it so that they can invoke hate. Because they don't want you to look at who's really getting over. And when those austerity measures kick in, you're going to see just how deep the overall depression the U.S. has never gotten out of. You'll see just how deep that grave is. But this article is ridiculous. The war on the poor, as housing costs soar, the U.S. cities wave ban on sleeping in cars. But we'll touch on this a little bit later. Next article from Press TV. This one is, one second. Pompeo preparing for war with Iran, Bush-era official. U.S. celebrity figurehead Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, I call him Pompeo, is setting the stage for a war with Iran, says a Bush-era official, claiming he sees the same pattern that developed ahead of the 2003 invasion of Iraq. Lawrence Wilkerson, who once served as the chief of staff of the former U.S. Secretary of State Colin Powell, made the comment in an interview with a nonprofit organization, the Real News Network. Yes. And it's not just Iran. The whole setup is much broader than Iran. But the Iranian push for war is real. But the thing about it is that Iran is able to push back very strategically now. And this is going to grow and really move the overall, what I call, will go into a short World War III, because World War III has already started. It really has. It's just that it hasn't been declared the way that it's on your mainstream media to tell you that, hey, to tell you what to think. And what they're going to think and tell you is that your country is at war. The country has been at war, been engaging in war tactics for a while. Unethical war tactics, primarily. None of them have been defensive. They've all been the from the standpoint as the aggressor. And this is the business that's done here. So check out that article. Next article from RT International. Iran army doesn't threaten regional powers, but stands firm against invaders. This is what the president of Iran said. Iran army doesn't threaten regional powers, but stands against invaders. Who do you think those invaders are? This is all, and I definitely do think that Iran does have nuclear capabilities, which they should. Yeah, let me think. I think Keith wanted to chime in. Yeah, go ahead, Keith.
Yeah, I want a couple of things on both of those last two articles you talked about. I think it's so interesting that, one, we talk about the fact that the American people are so ill-informed as to what's going on, but couple of things that you said kind of struck the nerve, and it was the article before this last one you were talking about, where you were talking about how they're criminalizing the people that's sleeping in their cars. I know when I was in law enforcement, there was a big move because the townspeople, they did not like looking at the homeless, you know, so they were putting in all these things to remove them so they wouldn't even have to look at them, you know. So I remember they started this thing in which we'd have to go up underneath the overpasses because, you know, a lot of the homeless would be underneath the overpasses because they were shielded from the weather elements, et cetera, et cetera. But the thing is, they were out of sight, out of mind. Well, they had us going up there in the overpasses and telling them they had to leave. Okay, leave to go where? So why that struck a nerve with me when you start talking about they're going to start arresting these people for sleeping in their cars. It takes me back after Prohibition, because what you'll find is if you look at the prison population prior to that time, you had a mostly Caucasian white prison population. And then after they put in those loopholes about the only way that they can have slavery basically was in the loopholes if they were convicted of crimes and stuff, almost overnight you saw that population switch over to the population that it looks like today. And that's what's going on. You're, like what you said, they're having movements to criminalize such massive people. And why that's so important is the United States is going to have to deal with the war when it comes, like you said, which is going to be huge. The United States is going to have to deal with the economic collapse, like you said, which is going to be huge. But just as large is the fight against the internal government, because they're going to be locking people up, putting them under slavery and everything else on a scale that hasn't been seen in almost 200 years.
And you know, Keith, it's going to be really, they're criminalizing being poor. And then in criminalizing poverty, it's going to be much easier for them to have a new pool of talent to fight their wars. And this is going to be, they're going to come up with all kinds of, the fines they'll have to pay will be that you'll have to serve in the military. And it's just really a war on the poor. And so, but we're going to get into it. But yeah, Keith, you're so true. You know, they say that it's an eyesore to see the poor. It brings about, it destroys the overall property value and everything. See, they don't care about the poor. They just don't want to see it. If it was really a concern, it would be a measure of, well, how do we eliminate this? How do we really eliminate this? And not with the way that they say it now, because the way that they say it now is just a pacifier. They're just placating. And there is nothing that's sincere about it at all, because the measures that create the poor is much more involved than there is for any kind of just an appearance of how do we solve this overall problem that's been created by man. So, yeah, Keith, and you know, when people get desperate, when people lose, when they lose everything, they lose it all. They lose it all. This is going to be difficult. Yes, go ahead, Scotty.
You know, this may not be directly related, but it's sort of similar. Now, you know, when Trump started cracking down on immigrants and refugees and locking them up or not letting them in the country or whatnot, you know, you had these different cities around the country set up so-called sanctuary cities where, you know, come here, you'll be protected and all this and that. Now, Trump pulled the genius move, man, which it totally caught me off guard. I didn't think, you know, probably somebody else came up with it. But anyway, when he said, well, we're going to release them to these sanctuary cities, right? So I'm like, okay, so that must be what they want, right? They set up the sanctuary cities. But then what you're seeing, though, is some pushback against that. So you really don't want these people, do you? You was just saying that because you wanted to show you was in opposition to Trump. But when it came right down to it, when he said, okay, we'll take these people we locking up and we'll send them to you and let you take care. Oh, no, you can't. That's illegal. We got to talk about this.
Yeah.
Scotty, go ahead, Keith. I got a different take on that, and I'll tell you why, Scotty. Because what they were saying and what Trump was doing, if you look at some of how they're rounding these people up and who they're rounding up and why they're rounding up, it's atrocious. So what these cities were saying, look, we're not going to allow you to do these things in our city. Now, that's a big difference between me taking it upon myself to take care of who I'm taking care of, and then an outside city says, okay, you want to take care of them, I'm going to send you everybody to take care of. There's a huge difference between the two.
I don't see the difference. I don't see that they're making a distinction. If you undocumented, you undocumented. I understand that some of the undocumented are gang-affiliated who are here to smuggle drugs and engage in crime. But that's not the vast majority of them. The vast majority of them are refugees fleeing conditions that were created by the United States in their home countries, either by sanctions or either by overthrowing their government. The drug war, forcing countries to participate in the drug war when they want to legalize cannabis. And so, you know, I'm just saying, though, when you say this is a sanctuary, that's like putting up a sign saying, bring me your poor, bring me your tired, bring me your hungry, we'll take care. This is a safe space. That's what sanctuary means, right? This is a safe space.
It does yes and it does no, Scotty. Again, there's a big difference between protecting the people that are our quote-unquote citizens and then because we're going to protect our citizens, you're going to do something that says, okay, we're going to send you everybody. I mean, look, the resources, how I spend my resources for me trying to protect my constituents and stuff are one thing. That's a whole different thing than you're talking about. Okay, we're going to send you everybody.
Well, then you shouldn't have said that. Then you shouldn't have said that we are a sanctuary and send out a message that this is a safe space when it's not.
Well, you should have said it because it's a matter of protecting who you have. I mean, again, if you look at, let's go back to how things are supposed to be and the people are voted to office, and the reason why these people are voted to office is to protect the people that voted them into office, whether it be city, whether it be state, whatever. Okay, that's what I'm designed to do. But now, because I'm protecting my people that sent me here, you want to send me everybody. I'm not here to protect everybody on that scale. I can't do it. I don't have the resources. I don't have the money. But what I can do is the resources we have, I'm going to protect my constituents.
Well, they could be like...
But you know what? Like, you know what, Jess? Go ahead. Let me jump in real quick. Okay. And you know what? I think it was purposely done because I think immigration was the perfect setup, because these sanctuary cities is going to be a part of the poor as well, in my overall estimation, because this is the perfect backlash. And when Scotty said that it was a brilliant move, is just because this was all contrived. And because there was never, ever, ever, in my overall opinion, there was never anything that was sincere to protect immigrants. Never, ever was. And not only that, it's never been anything that's sincere to defeat or to eliminate poverty in the United States. What the sanctuary cities really do is that it gives them now precedence to fall back on to isolate who they want to isolate. And this is what I think is really a part of the continuous economic collapse of the everyday person here in the United States. The sanctuary city campaign is not going to be about immigrants, nor is the wall, nor is the overall immigration itself. It's going to be about poverty.
Hey, let me put it this way. Last night
Scotty, we could barely hear you. I could barely hear you.
Oh,
Scotty.
I'm sorry. We did a story last night on New Abolitionist Radio. We played this video from this organization that works against 21st century slavery and human trafficking. So the governor of New Jersey is proposing $150 million to build 3 brand new youth prisons. So the guy that's opposed to that, the organization that's opposed to that, they put out a video and they was like, look, you could take that same money, because it breaks down to they're trying to invest $290,000 per child. That's how much it's going to cost to put them in a prison. And so they were saying that, look, we got these residential facilities for troubled teens that ain't even full. They ain't even halfway full. We got several of them across the country, and they could house every youth prisoner that we have. And we don't want no more prisons. We want to close prisons. We don't want to open up new prisons. So if you look at it from the immigration standpoint of view, now, you taking all this money and you giving it to the GEO Group, you giving it to Core Civic, you giving it to corporations to cage these immigrants. So, why not, if I was sincere about being a sanctuary, say, you know, that money that you giving to the GEO Group, that you giving to these private prison corporations, give that money to us and we'll set up some shelters or whatnot, and we'll help these people, you know, apply for asylum and, you know what I'm saying, all of that type of stuff. Right. But that's not what being said. All it is a fake position that you want to seem like you more humane than Donald Trump, when really you not.
Right.
Hey Scotty, can you hear me?
Go ahead.
Scotty, I agree with you 100%, which really ultimately goes back to the conversation yesterday about having a clean conversation and sitting in dirt. which goes back to what Dave was saying just a few minutes ago. And the fact of the matter is, every study out there shows that if you take these kids and you put them in decent programs and you give them a decent education, it is by far cheaper than locking them up. But the bottom line is, you can have that same discussion with pharmaceuticals and everything else. That's exactly what you were saying. Yep. It's exactly what Dave was saying. All these things are designed to pay the very, very rich at the detriment to those without. And that's why this 1%, this 0.05% and all that, that's why it's expanding so much. Because they are demonstrating we don't give a flying flip about the masses. We, the few, are another example of what you were talking about, which is the same thing, is this same thing with what's this building that burned down in Paris?
Notre Dame.
The cathedral. Yeah, Notre Dame.
Notre Dame.
Now, if you look at the donations that they have to rebuild Notre Dame, which is valued somewhere about $30 billion. Well, they got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions already going back towards rebuild this thing. And they're saying, look, you can give us a tenth of that, and we can fix all of Puerto Rican's problems. We can rebuild Puerto Rico, everything else.
I'm a bit confused about something, though, on the Notre Dame. Now, was this just an empty building that was just sitting there, or was it in use? Are they using it or whatnot? Because I'm like, wait a minute, why is people donating? I'm sure they got insurance. Don't they supposed to have insurance or something like that?
Well, they're self-insured. It's the Roman Catholic Church. They're self-insured. They don't even need insurance. Absolutely, Scotty, you're absolutely right. Yes, it was a used cathedral and everything else. But there's so much that is wrong with this whole situation. Why are you giving to rebuild this overall cathedral when it's self-insured? It's a part of the Roman Catholic Church's assets. Let them rebuild. Well, see, that's how the Roman Catholic Church got to be so big, is because they were able to get the donations from all of the people and use it for their nefarious agenda. It's ridiculous. Absolutely, Scotty, you're right.
I wouldn't give them a penny.
No. Well, and that's what the discussion is. And what you're saying,
right.
And what Dave is saying, is this discussion runs the exact parallel as what you're seeing going on with the United States. Look, the bottom line is, they have the money to do what they want to do. They can rebuild Puerto Rico, but they don't want to do that. They'd rather give this money to build what you said is already an insured building. That's their mindset. Yeah. Look, goes back to what we were just talking about. You can take a percentage of that money, and you can almost guarantee upstanding kids coming out on the positive with a percentage of the money. They're not interested in that. They'd rather lock them up with way more money. Why? Because that money goes in their pockets. The heck with everybody and anything else.
It's really an investment. It's an investment for the future, and they're always investing in destruction. They're always investing in destruction because destruction is profitable. You're able to steal people's energy. And that's what this is all about. The sanctuary cities, as Scotty said, it's a fraud. It's fraudulent. Because if it was sincere, it would be done in a very sincere way. When's the last time you ever seen these organizations and governments do anything sincere? You can't. You can't really talk. You can't really show it. Because it's never been sincere. But let me move on in what's in the news, because we got some good stuff that we really need to get to. Next article from Sputnik News. Here it is. This is really big, everyone. From Sputnik News, EU to respond if U.S. imposes sanctions on investment in Cuba, the French minister said. On Wednesday, the United States announced that it would, within 2 weeks, permit its citizens to sue foreign firms and individuals doing business and property seized from them after 1959 in the Cuban Revolution. So what are they doing is they're telling this the U.S. citizens here, a selected group, now you'll be able to sue Canada. Now you'll be able to sue France. Now you'll be able to sue Germany. The European Union will retaliate against the U.S. and any U.S. sanctions on investments in Cuba, the French foreign minister said on Thursday. This is big. This is the war, ladies and gentlemen. This is the war. And it's
that's like when they say U.S. citizens, they talking about them Cuban dissidents down there in Florida. That's who they talking about. They talking about the ones that was on top practicing white supremacy against everybody else. And then, you know, you had a lot of corruption down there and what have you, U.S. corporations, the mafia and all of that. And then when the Cuban Revolution happened, they kicked them all out. Or they fled on their own. They fled on their own, so they abandoned that property. You know what I'm saying? And all this is trying to get reparations for them, but you won't pay reparations to the real U.S. citizens you really owe reparations to for all the stolen property, all the stolen labor, all the stolen lives. So, man, I tell you, man, it's time for the rest of the world to stand up to this bully, man, trying to dictate to everybody else what they can and cannot do. Why are they doing this to Cuba? Because Cuba is standing in solidarity with their ally, Venezuela, you know, by giving them food and aid. But then the mainstream media trying to tell you that Maduro's not accepting aid. Then why are you putting sanctions on Cuba then?
He's done it humanitarian, right. Exactly, Scotty.
Man, we live in a land of liars, man.
Yep. And this is really targeting France, Germany, and Canada. And this is going to, I'm telling you, this is going to be a big, big push. A while back, a couple of years ago, I said on here on these shows, Nintendo, that it won't be long before other countries will start sanctioning the United States. This is coming in a big, hard, fast way. And it's real. So check out that article. Next article. This one comes from Credit Bubble Bulletin. The perils of stop and go. We won't check out that today. But it was a pretty good article. Check that one out. Next article, this one from Sputnik News. Armed groups attack Haftar's controlled air base in southern Libya. Okay, now, the general, Khalid Haftar, is making a push to seize back Tripoli and seize back Libya. This is critical for the war, because Libya sits in a strategically important place and their resources are important for any form of war, because where they sit in Africa and what's there, they have light sweet crude in Libya. So the overall Libyan situation has deteriorated since they murdered and assassinated Gaddafi. And now it's going to continue to be put back on the scale. This is WW3 that's going to turn into Global Nuclear War 1. And it's the expanding of that. And what the general was doing is he's moving through and kicking out and expelling by force the UN militia groups that were put into power after they seized it by killing Gaddafi. Man, this has been happening for quite some time. For a couple of months now, but it's really, really heating up. And this is, in my opinion, very, very one of the strings that you have to pull in order to have World War III and Global Nuclear War I. Critical. So check out that article. Next article from RT International. All roads leads to China. 17 Arab countries join Beijing's new Silk Road. Beijing has inked cooperation deals on its multi-trillion dollar Belt and Road Initiative, commonly referred to as BRI, with 17 Arab nations, citing the result from a Sunni Arab forum, the second Chinese Arab forum in reform and development, which was held in Shanghai on Tuesday. attracted more than 100 businessmen, politicians, and academies from China and the Arab states, including Egypt, Libya, Djibouti, and Oman. Man, once again, this is the flick, and it's going to be a hard one on the U.S. Next article from Medium, and this one is the oil party is over. We may jump into that. There's a good one that's there. Next article from Sputnik News, amazing feat in propaganda. U.S. support for Guaido's rooted in the thirst for oil. Check out that article. Next article from RT International, BRICS banks to invest in infrastructure projects in Brazil. This is how, you know, in my opinion, this is how Brazil will be pulled out of the overall U.S. Control. Investments worth $621 million will be provided by BRICS New Development Bank, NDB, to Brazil, according to the Institution for Applied Economics and Research. Check out that article. Next article, this one from the Sacramento Bee, CalPERS, and this is California's largest retirement fund. CalPERS bill for California state workers' pension set to reach $7 billion next year. They can't pay that. $7 billion next year? Not going to be able to pay it. So check out that article. Next article, this is another disturbing one in this overall push and pull. It's from Sputnik News. Modi warns Pakistan against threats. India has the mother of all nuclear bombs. India and Pakistan is not diminished. That's going to be instigated, and it's going to rear up. And that in itself gets the globe into a war very, very quickly. So check out that article. Next article, this one is from Cannon Beach Gazette. Thomas Franks chronicles the signs of the U.S. decline. Check out that. That was a good one, too. Next article from Sputnik News. African nation face elevated debt risk amidst rapid bond insurance. Check out that from the World Bank. Then next article, this is the ground. This comes from Waking Times. The ground rules for the ground rules of life existence. Let me see. One second. I took a guess on that. Hold on. Let me pull this article up. Okay, I'm having a problem. I'll pull it up later, but that's a good article. We'll come back to that one. The ground rules for life and existence. So check out that article that we got from Waking Times. Really good one. Next article from RT International. Venezuela's sanctions serve as a warning to external actors like Russia against helping Maduro, John Bolton said. U.S. National Security Advisor John Bolton has signaled that Washington's latest sanctions on Venezuela are a warning to external actors against deploying military assets to support the Nicolas Maduro government. The U.S. imposed new sanctions on Central Bank of Venezuela on Wednesday. Not going to happen, y'all. Next article from TASS. Russia's diplomats warn U.S. military intervention in Venezuela may become a reality. Next article from Russia Insider. Is France and Germany seriously considering replacing NATO with an EU army? And why are they doing that? Because the U.S. will be the overall enemy of engagement. Next article from TASS. Alternative parties in the European Parliament may better EU and Russian relationships. The breakup of NATO. Next article, and where Europe is going to start to sanction and counterreact and counterpunch the U.S. for what it's doing around the world that affects them and their new allies, such as Iran. And the last article we got from Russia Insider, the U.S. empire is very much over. So check out that article. So that's what's in the news. We got a lot that's there. And at any time, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, don't hesitate. Give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. Yes, was someone said, Keith, did you say something?
No, I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Okay. No, you're good. Yeah, I got you. Okay, so we're going to jump into today's show. Man, where do we start?
it's in today's show is when we partake and cooperate with this ready-made society, one will assassinate their own self-sanctity. And this is very true in my opinion, because we actually, by upholding this system, it's really self-mutilation. And the conditions and the environments to maintain that are being manipulated to happen to give us appearance that there is an authority that we need. There is a person that we need to be worshiping. There is a celebrity figurehead that we should be considering as a monarch and as a necessity to our lives. They give life, and we are just fortunate that they would be so kind and so merciful to bless us with something that we should be giving everything that we have so that there should be the few that would benefit from it all. That's sick. That's foolishly sick. And we can see that in how things are created, manipulated, and put into motion in today's world. And it doesn't have to... This is not the only option. This just happens to be the execution of free will, the same free will that you have. When people choose to destroy, you can choose to build. When people choose to kill, you can choose to create sustainability. It's always a choice. How are we going to use our energy? But in looking at this, there's a couple of things that I wanted to address. And man, it's just so much here. It's hard to start, but we're going to go ahead and start with, want to take a look at something that's happening. And I think it's wise for us to be aware of it so that we can make informed decisions that will actually benefit us enough or benefit us the most. And here it is. Let me just pull this up real quick. It's the article, EU to respond if U.S. imposes sanctions on investments in Cuba, the French minister says. On Wednesday, the United States announced that it would, within 2 weeks, permit its citizens to sue foreign firms. What foreign firms? They're talking about European foreign firms. They're talking about Russian firms. And individuals doing business and property seized from them after the 1959 Cuban Revolution. The European Union, the same European Union that's thinking about creating its own army, the same European Union that's thinking about enhancing its relationships with Russia and Iran, the same European Union that's already said that the U.S. is no longer an ally, the same European Union that realizes that, hey, we need to start sanctioning the U.S. The European Union will retaliate against U.S. sanctions. Never before in the past would you ever hear something like that. But in these times, this is starting to be talked about more, but the actions are about to come and they're going to explode even more. The European Union would retaliate against any U.S. sanctions on investments in Cuba, the French finance minister said on Thursday. If the United States administration decides to also impose a regime of sanctions on investments in Cuba in contravention of what has been decided for several years now by our American allies, we will react. Europe will also react and is ready to also impose sanctions at our end. And who are those sanctions going to be against? The United States. His comments came on the heel of a joint statement by Brussels and Ottawa, which said that the extension of Cuban relations sanctions by the United States was in breach of the international law. Spain in turn pledged to ask the EU to challenge the U.S. move in the World Trade Organization, the WTO. Their anger was caused by Trump administration lifting the ban on lawsuits against companies and individuals benefiting from the properties confiscated from the U.S. citizens in Cuba. One, this is where it becomes very, very important. When you have a country and you have assets in another country, that country can turn around and say the assets that you have are their assets and are domain to them, and they can actually take that from you. But in this case, this all had to do with the 1959 Cuban Revolution. So it goes on. This right was granted to American citizens under a 1996 law, but the United States president suspended this legal provision for 23 years so as not to alienate trade partners. Donald Trump, who has vocally supported Venezuela's opposition leader Juan Guaido, lifted the ban in an effort to increase pressure on Cuba's government, which supports a legitimate President Maduro. U.S. officials said no exemptions would be granted under this decision. According to the Assistant Secretary of State for Western Hemisphere Affairs, the U.S. will continue to discuss this matter with the EU and Canada. According to the Undersecretary, the government has certified nearly 6,000 claims for property seized in Cuba with a total value of about $8 billion, $2 billion in property, and $6 billion in interest. So now, why is this significant? This is the war against Russia, China, and all of those individuals that are now doing business in Russia and China. See, when celebrity figurehead Trump nullified and withdrew from the Iranian deal, the Iranian nuclear deal, it wasn't against Iran. It was really against Europe, specifically Germany and France. And this, once again, is another hit on that. So what is Germany and France going to do? They're going to take the path of least resistance to protect themselves from an adversary. Who's that adversary now? They're going to stand with the rest of the world. See, Germany and France is not going to lead the overall war against the United States. What they're going to do is that they're going to defend their position of interest, and their position of interest is not with the United States anymore. This is why Germany became public enemy number one to the United States when they tried to be as a major country when they repatriated their gold a couple of years back. When they tried to do that, the war with Germany was on. It was totally on. This is a full extension of this, and Germany is well aware of that. France is as well. So what are they doing? They are securing relationships with the outright stand-in enemy of the United States. That is going to be Russia and China and Iran and Korea. So, as this moves, this is going to affect everything here, because as we speak right now, the trade has collapsed to measures worse than in the last, what they call the financial crisis of 2008. And those trade wars are now going to extend not just to China, but
to Germany, but to France and everything else. And the cycle of war goes, a currency war leads to a trade war. A trade war leads to a shooting war. That cycle is not been broken. That cycle has not been broken. And it's not going to be broken here. It's going to stay in that overall cycle. And you're going to have the EU start to sanction the United States, and this is what's going to happen. The U.S. will retaliate, and the EU will retaliate. Then they will require that countries that they do business with have to follow their sanctions. What does that basically mean? The rest of the world will choose a side. And who do you think that they will choose? Right now, it looks as if Brazil is siding with, from the BRIC nations. It used to be that India was the one that would be more, was likely that, and they were, it was very critical as to what India would do. And when India chose Russia and Iran and even their arch enemy of China, when they chose them, that was it. Hence why you have their overall problems in Pakistan and in India right now. Because they broke the U.S. sanctions, so the instigation against them has been going on. Same thing with Turkey. So what does this basically mean? This may basically mean that the scales of war against the United States is being unevenly stacked. All of this U.S. allies you're talking about, remember with the trade war with Mexico and Canada, the trade agreement. Oh, both of those countries are ready to, well, if everybody else is going to go to war, we're going to jump in bed with them too. Surrounded. The U.S. is completely surrounded now. And that's going to play out in a way where things are going to start to show. All of a sudden, we're going to start to see stores all over close. Oh, we're seeing that. Then we're going to see interruption of this and interruption of that. Then you're going to see that overall parts for different cars and different things aren't going to be in the U.S. Remember where Trump wanted to actually ban all German cars in the U.S.? Oh, don't think that that's still not in the plan. It is. It just has to have the right conditions for that to come up. And they're actually creating that. So, we're getting ready to go to a commercial break. If you'd like to get in on our conversation at any time, give us a call, 704-802-5056. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. Scotty, give me 2 minutes, 3 minutes, real quick. What up, Roz? Talk to you soon. Peace.
are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. And just before we get going, let me just say this to my man, Roz, that's there. Roz, glad to see you there. And tomorrow, I definitely want to do a show with Roz. Roz sent a great video about some of the banking issues that are going to be happening and are unfolding. I wanted to go over that as well. And also, Roz sent me a while back, about a month or so ago. I can't remember. It's probably a little longer than that. It's about almost a month ago. It was almost a month ago. And it was an article, and it's the 13 reasons why African Americans are broke and most likely will remain broke. We definitely, that's going to be tomorrow's overall show for Financial Friday. And I would love for Roz to chime in, and because this was the stuff that he sent me, and I thought it was so important, because this is what I see as being a very, very a contrived method. And it is going to really play itself in a very painful way in our community. And if we prepare for it, we can minimize that to a measure to where opportunities can be seized from that. So we're going to take a look at the 13 reasons why. I will add a couple of more reasons as to why I think it should be much more than 13. I know that you all could come up with some as well. But I just thought it was a great article that Roz had sent. So, Roz, if you can, tomorrow, would love for you to co-host with us, Pastor and I, on those topics. So, glad to see you there. And if you can do it, just let me know. So definitely want to get that done, because I think it's very pointed, especially for a lot of things that's going on. We have a great opportunity that's here, and hopefully that we seize that opportunity, because if we do, we'll find that there's a whole lot more support and cooperation. There are a lot of warriors that have been waiting for the overall sovereign move. And if we make sovereign moves, you'll find that that is going to be sweeping, and you would be surprised at where that support will come from, and the overall commitment level of that support is going to be large. But it all starts with us. So we're going to do that tomorrow on Financial Friday. Okay? All right. So just before we went to the break, was looking at what's setting up on the geopolitical sphere. And the thing in Venezuela is really, really ramping up. And it is the engagement of that country from the sanctions and economic hardships to the all-out military confrontation that's going to happen there is going to be a topic that actually hinders and harms us all in so many different ways, from friends, family members, and us individually as well. And everything is leading up to this. And in leading up to it, we shouldn't be caught by surprise when this thing moves to our overall dinner table, and it moves in our homes. It moves in our cupboards. It moves in our bedrooms. It moves in our living room. It moves in the bathroom. It moves in your neighborhood. It moves in your heart. Because it's purposely being pushed to a dramatic conclusion
or confrontation. And we definitely have to be prepared for that. Now, I want to go back to another article from Sputnik News. And we talked about it when we first came into the show. And anytime you'd like to get in on the conversation in the show, don't hesitate. Give us a call, 704-802-5056. There is another article that we talked about when we first came into the show, but I want to kind of get into it. I want to put this together. Yeah, Libya is definitely breaking out into to all out pretty soon civil war. But here we go. This was a proposal. Well, I put this in just when we read the overall what's in the news. War on the poor as housing costs soar. U.S. cities weighs ban on sleeping in cars. A proposal by city official in San Diego, California, to reestablish a ban that restricts individuals from living in their vehicles on city streets. It's just another attempt to criminalize the city's poor. An attorney with the Disabled Rights California told Sputnik News, it's absolutely a draconian measure. On Wednesday, it's extremely repressive. It's basically a continuance of the war on the unhoused poor. The measure was introduced by a San Diego mayor in March, just a month after the city council repealed a 1983 ordinance that banned habitation in vehicles on city streets. The February 5th revocation came as a result of a federal court's ruling that concluded that this decade-old ordinance was too vague to enforce. A local news outlet, NBC 7, reported. The proposed ordinance represents to the hundreds of complaints he received from San Diegoans regarding the cleanliness and illegal activities related to people living out of their vehicles. The mayor also stated that the city's move is meant to help tackle the city's homeless issue, while at the same time preventing individuals from taking advantage of San Diego's generosity and destroying the quality of life in the community. You hear that? It goes on. This measure is more about targeting a group of people rather than actually trying to fix the city's ongoing housing crisis, which has seen the average rent price skyrocket past the $1,500 mark. More and more people are being priced out, even people who have jobs, full-time jobs or more than full-time jobs, she said. And I'm going to tell you, in California, there's individuals that have full-time jobs that actually live in their vehicles because the cost of living and the cost of housing is so high there. And this goes from Southern California up to the Bay Area. And particularly in I don't even know how people make it in San Francisco.
Or Washington, D.C., or a lot of places. I was reading this story, Dave, and it had to do with sexual harassment by members of Congress and their staff against, you know, custodians and what have you, the cleaning ladies and whatnot that clean the, you know, halls of Congress and clean those offices. And they were saying that a lot of this was occurring when these Congress people were sleeping in their offices because of housing is so high there in Washington, D.C. I guess they'd rather just sleep in the doggone building, you know what I'm saying, than rent an apartment. And it also reminded me when they was giving what's her name, AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, was giving her heat and whatnot, you know, she couldn't find a place to live or that she could afford on her, and she was saying, well, what did she say? She was living somewhere, she was living with somebody, but it's because of the cost of housing. So here you got Congress, you know, members sleeping in their offices because they don't want to spend the money. Well, that should tell you something then. What about the people, the ordinary people? Because I think Congress members make like six figures a year, don't they?
Yeah. And you know, over three quarters or even more than three quarters of congressional members are now millionaires just after being in serving one term as a congressional member. So they either came in that way or they've expanded, or just by them being in that congressional position, it's earned them over $1 million just from that. So yeah, it's, and you know what's so funny, Scotty, Washington is one of those cities. But if you really look at it, it's pretty much all of the major cities.
Yeah, it's like that in Charlotte, I know for sure, because it's been in the news a lot.
New York? Sure. New York City, all of these major cities. In San Francisco, we can't even have a conversation about it. But here's the problem, is that they're talking about the quality of life of individuals that can afford to be there, because they care about those individuals and not the quality of life of the individuals that can't afford to be there. How can you have a measure of talk about quality of life issues when you're not concerning about the people that are fighting for life to survive? A quality is more important than surviving. And this is a subliminal message. This is a subliminal message that the overall MMA, draconian tactics of the local, centralized, and federal governments is going to be looking at exploiting individuals that are trying to survive because they are not providing for quality of their life. So here, let me just make sure I make that clear. When this San Diego mayor said that they received, where was it? When the San Diego mayor it was in the article, I can't remember where it was, said that they received so many complaints about people living in their cars on the city streets that it became what they used to justify their stances, they said it became a quality of life issue. How? Wow.
You know, Keith kind of alluded to something earlier. Now, right after the Civil War and the emancipation of, you know, victims of slavery, a lot of those people was homeless that didn't choose to stay on that plantation and be exploited further. But, you know, they made their way. There was some success stories. Like I heard this story about this black woman left Tennessee, was one of the few people, especially black people, able to take advantage of when the president at the time, Lincoln, the Homestead Act of 1862. And so after she got her freedom, she applied, got the land in Oregon, moved to Oregon. It's like 150 acres or something like that. But then you had to also show, you know, improvement on the land before it became your property. And she was able to take advantage of that. But that's one of the few success stories. Most of the people came out of slavery that did not want to stay on those plantations of their former enslavers and what have you. They were homeless, man. They were wandering the roads just trying to find a spot. You know what I'm saying? And then that's when they come out with these these, what they call them, vagrancy laws and what have you, to lock them up and do what? Throw them into prison and then do what? Hire them back out to them plantation mines, the railroads, and what have you.
But then they provide a quality of life for somebody else.
Exactly.
Right. And this is the problem. Here it is. The mayor, the proposed ordinance is a response to hundreds of complaints he's received from San Diegoans. Do you believe it? Could he receive complaints? But so what if somebody's complaining about something? People complain about stuff all the time.
Yeah, hundreds of complaints in a city that large ain't really many people.
No, it's not. And not only that, so what? Can people complain about stuff? Is the complaint legitimate? If you're driving past in a Rolls Royce Ghost and you got a complaint about somebody that can't afford that type of car, and you got a complaint about that, so that complaint that you have supersedes their overall survivability? What are we doing here? See, anytime that we capitulate, anytime that we participate, anytime that we uphold, and as in today's name of today's show, when we partake and cooperate with this ready-made society, one will assassinate their own self-sanctity. We are killing ourselves over this type of stuff. The mayor said the proposed ordinance is response to hundreds of complaints he's received from San Diegoans regarding the cleanliness and illegal activities related to people living out of their vehicles. The mayor has also stated that the city is that the move is meant to help tackle the city's homelessness issue, while at the same time preventing individuals from taking advantage of San Diego's generosity and destroying the quality of life in its community. And let me just say this. All of these cities, all of these states, and all of these federal governments, and all of these governments around the world have taken advantage by stealing people's energy for their benefit. And they've done it for so long, and they've been, and they're so in so deeply rooted in it, to now people always are afraid of what the government will take away from you. When the government itself shouldn't have anything to take away from the people, because it's the people that provide for everything. And some will say, well, they're there to protect. Keep thinking that and see how quick they kill you with experience. That institution needs minions to be as ignorant as possible, so that when they come up with their outrageous excuses, someone will say, that sounds reasonable, because they're not fighting for survival. They have an insatiable appetite that is never enough. It doesn't matter what this type of mentality does in San Diego or anywhere else in the world. One, you're not generous, and two, your quality of life is based off of subjugation. And that will, the appetite that you develop from that will never be appeased. You will eat your own. You will even eat yourself. And this type of mentality, and this type of insincere propaganda, lying, and justifying lies by writing laws that are so vague that means that they can apply to anything that they want to do and change it into anything that they want to change it to in the future. I'm going to tell you, no, in my overall opinion, no man can own anything that's living. And guess what? Land is living. And if you take a building and place it on a land, you are taking a inanimate object and placing it on a living entity, and you're going to claim it's yours. That's why we're so backwards in things, because we don't live by any real truths. Nothing was created for you to subjugate it to death. Everything, in my overall opinion, was created to sustain and cooperation life. Hey, the land has, we are not cooperating with resources.
Quick thought, Dave. Quick thought, Dave. Without land ownership, you don't have taxation.
Right. That's right. Without land ownership, you don't have taxation. Scotty, hit it out the park. That is so true. See, this is why these things are derived and these things are actually put into place. They're not put into place for your overall quality of life. They're actually there to actually get you to be a willing participant in the overall subjugation and destruction of everything that's living. They're going to kill you too. And you know when you'll start to see that? Guess what happens? Now down there in San Diego, that's some real high-priced real estate. From San Diego up into Orange County and everything else, Camp Pendleton, all of that area, that's some preferred real estate. And there's some so-called paper-rich people. And what's going to happen? Let me tell you, the same individuals that would have so-called, this may have been complaining about the hundreds of, and you know what hundreds mean? It could be 200 complaints. It could even be a lie of being only 5 complaints. Because let me tell you how this works. There could have been one person that was that makes donations to that overall mayor's campaign, and they don't like, there was a homeless person or whatever, they didn't like, they said something to or whatever. He says, I'm going to end this. Because let me tell you something. Where poverty screams, the rich whisper. And then they come up with all of these things. This is why they got to have secrets and everything, so the truth is never disclosed, so that it doesn't go back to where, how things really came about. This is why the government has to have a chain of custody on different things that has secrets on secrets, because in those secrets they hold and uphold the lie. So it's funny how, go through this next economic collapse, those individuals that thought that they were rich because they owned something, they're going to see just how far ownership goes.
Yeah, you don't really own anything when it comes to property. I'm just reminded with my deceased cousin who lived next door, and his son lives there now, but something he said to me, he was just standing out in the driveway fiddling around with his car, and I went out there to see if he needed any help and just talk with him. And he was like, you know what, Scotty, we don't own nothing in this country. And I was like, well, what you mean, cuz? He was like, you know, I gotta pay this tax bill, you know, for this land, so how do I own it if I gotta pay somebody else to keep it?
Right. Yep. And those individuals are about to see in this next economic crisis, because they have property that's highly sought after. Guess what? The controller is going to give a new owner to that overall land. And how are they going to do it? Oh, easy. Collapse their economy, and then we could come in and get it for pennies on a dollar.
Hey, Dave, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Keith. Yes.
Well, and you can actually take it a step farther, because actually they've already told you, especially when martial law comes out, but they've already told you, they say, look, all property, personal and private, is subject to seizure on demand of the government. So
continuity of government. Yeah.
So if they tell you that if we come and ask for your property, you have to give it to us, then you're exactly right. Where's ownership coming? There's no such thing. They're saying that you pay for it, but even though you pay for it, it's still ours.
It's still ours. And this is why they put on a paper on their debt note. Let me tell you something. The great creator never creates debt. Only man does. And this is why on their debt notes it says, in God we trust. They're not talking about the great creator. They're talking about the institutions of governance as being the God. That's what they're talking about. That's who that overall society and social group adheres to. And in adhering to that, they know that they need to exploit, subjugate, and disenfranchise their constituents. So we're getting ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we'd love to hear from you all. Give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056. Brother Davis, I see you in queue. I'm going to come right back to you once we come back. Scotty, give me 2 minutes. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Let them know they're missing out, Mama Africa.
So much love to share.
Sweet blackness, oneness, be there.
So much love to care.
Let them know they're missing out, sing again.
Hey.
This for all the love and the life took away.
Hey.
Don't forget we were born and trained. Ripped from the land and shipped away.
Hey.
Is the inspiration we use to survive.
See.
You have to see it with your own cry.
Hey.
Don't play add it up in a rhyme.
Still you don't know.
The land is so golden green. The place is so fresh and clean.
And every day I water my garden. Tell if you feel it deep in your heart.
The space is so cool and nice. Visit once, guaranteed to visit twice. And if you just believe in the Most High, I know you'll be alright. Mama Africa has
so much love, yeah.
Pure blackness, oneness, so rare.
So much love to care.
And let them know they're missing out. Mama Africa, you.
So much love to share.
Sweet blackness, oneness, be there. Let them know they're missing out. Sing again.
Hey.
That's my favorite place when I need to get away.
Hey.
Must forget, but we can't forget to pray. Like lands right on the runway. In my homeland, and I'm feeling so alive. Hear me chant, Africa, unite.
Hey.
Gone and accept a nice alright.
Still you don't know.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio, new black media for the new millennium.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the show, give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. We're getting ready to go to Brother Davis in 1 second, but my man Scotty sent me something in between the break, and it was about some, you know, it was
just looking at some homes in the Charlotte area, I believe that is.
In Charlotte.
Charlotte. I couldn't believe it. Homes that were going for $1 million.
Now,
in that range of $1 million.
Now look at some of the properties. They showing the properties. Now look, we were talking about this on Real Life Radio when we were talking about land and buying land and stuff like that, and talking about gentrification and how black folks ought to let these people have these cities and come back home to the south, to the countryside, and get some real land. Because that ain't, I don't call that me having control of some land, because again, like you say, Dave and my cousin said, we don't own nothing. We just leasing it to control it. Because if we don't pay our taxes, then they gonna come take it. So, you know, with that in mind, this reminds me of Detroit, you know. Houses on top of each houses. You don't have lands. You have tiny plots. You have tiny plots of land. That's what you have. You don't really have any acres. This ain't even a half an acre. You know what I'm saying? This ain't even a half an acre, but you're going to spend $1 million for this house where I could build this same house, or my cousin who built his same house out of all brick, and these ain't even all brick homes. Some of them are. But my cousin bought a plot of land in Dallas, North Carolina, in the countryside, and built his own house, and it's bigger than these. But it ain't valued at $1 million, you know? So why are these homes $1 million? Because of location?
And you know what, Scotty, I'm glad you know what? Gentrification doesn't start when white people move in. It starts when black people move out. And the thing is that if you're going to move out and you have something that's value, make sure you know the value of it so that you can get the full. And like Scotty said, move to an area where you can get some real value for what you're getting, where you can get more money in return, because land is a form of money. And these homes are, I mean,
they just look like regular houses. These ain't mansions. They just regular houses.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I
agree with everything that you're saying, but it's we have to understand that they manipulate all that stuff. And what I mean by that, they put things in place that even if you go out there and buy the property at a good value, they'll do things to make that property depreciate, lose its value, and then you're left with a hole.
Yeah.
And then when you have to abandon the property, where you have to sell it, then they'll do the reverse thing and make that same property valuable. And that's what happened with gentrification.
Yeah, that's what's happening.
The suburbs.
Yeah.
And they made the suburbs valuable. So now the blacks were inside the city with garbage, with ghettos, and they're now, so when they start moving up, they say, okay, we're going to move out to the suburbs like they do, and we're going to get that valuable land.
But listen though, this ain't practical though. If I had $1 million, I wouldn't go spend it on this little tiny plot of land in this 4-bedroom house. I would come to the country where I live and buy me several acres of land and build my own house on it. And it ain't got to be no expensive house, because I ain't caught up in the materialism and keeping up with the Joneses and all of that, and trying to, you know, show myself worth through what I own or what I control or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So then you think about, okay, you spend $1 million for the house. Then every year, what do you think that tax bill gonna look like? You better be able to afford them taxes every year.
Yeah, and you know what? I think Scotty, and just like, you know, and Keith brought up the manipulative process of it. It's blue lighting. They blue light regions and in areas. But like Scotty said, and I know Keith agrees with what you do, is that you look at these little old homes. This is just status symbol. Now, I don't know Charlotte. I know that Charlotte is a beautiful city. I've never been there, but I can see that this is pretty much how everything is. It's the location of everything. But these homes are really, really small for $1 million. 3,100 square feet
with no, and that's all it is house in a real small yard. So like Scotty said, if what you really do, if you have that opportunity to sell that and then go move somewhere where you can actually sustain yourself, where you can actually grow your food, have your own water, have your own well water and everything else, that would be much more practical. And then, of course, you know, a lot of people would say, hey, the jobs is a big thing. Yes, the jobs are a big thing. See, what they what's trying to be done here is they try to have the jobs centralized so that they control people, have everyone in a small place, but then you can control them a whole lot more.
Yeah, but I'm only 10 minutes outside of Charlotte. I'm only 10 minutes down the road, you know, in the country, you know?
That's nothing. Right, Scotty, that's not. It's a practical way to do everything. And knowing the value of something is very, very critical. So I'm glad I posted what Scotty sent me so you can all see this. And this is what does $1 million get you in Charlotte, hottest neighborhoods, 8 cool homes that just hit the market. There's nothing, man. Just because you say that home isn't worth half that to me at all. So thank you, Scotty, for sending that. Let me go to Brother Davis. Brother Davis is in queue. Didn't want to keep him waiting much longer. Brother Davis, sorry about that. What say you? Welcome to Tando Radio Show. Always good to hear the voice.
Hey, brothers. Great show again, as usual. Let me give you a little insight about how the system of white supremacy works. Complacency is complicity. So they give you a law to make you a little complacent about your knowledge of what they're trying to do. And when you realize what they're trying to do, you realize the time allowed you to be complicit. Because in reality, they're not telling you directly what they're doing unless they use something like the law of confiscation, where they say if the government says that your land is needed for development, they have a right to take it. But they have ways of putting you in a complacent spot. Perfect example was what Scotty said in reference to his cousin. Now, his taxes is his statement of complacency. He knows he has to pay his taxes. But at any given time, they can come to him and say, your taxes have gone up. You didn't pay enough. Then he's placed into a place of complacency. Literally, this is something that's been done over and over for eons since white supremacy came forth. And the reason being is because that gives them total control, because you have to obey what they call their laws. Let me also point this out to you in reference to St. Patrick's Cathedral. St. Patrick's Cathedral has gargoyles all over it. Now, gargoyles were said, now this is just through my research, they were said to have introduced paganism to the church. But yet, these great so-called cathedrals of religion have these gargoyles all over them, not only in France, but in New York and in Pittsburgh, all over the world where these places are up, they always put gargoyles. There is a specific reason why they do that, that goes deep into the barriers of those people who've established that religion. But complacency allows people to look up and say, oh, wow, gargoyles, what does that mean? Oh, I don't know, probably just watching the church. That puts a person in a position of complacency. So before you realize it, they become complicit with the whole aspect because they have done nothing about it. We in America have become so damn complacent, we don't even look at what we're doing to ourselves. We have been complicit with the circumstance because we haven't done things to take control of our personal truth and focus on what our points of interest are. So until we do that, and this is not just one or two, this is everybody, until they begin to do that, they will always be complacent and end up being complicit. I just wanted to add that, brothers. Great show.
Well said, Brother Davis, and it's true that, you know, they place those those gargoyles are the messengers of demise, and it's so true. And you from
You can see them in those old overall cathedrals, from the City of London to all over. And they're not there just because of architectural design. They're there as a message. And so, yeah, well said. And Brother Davis, you know, when we become complicit, this is why today's show was named what it is, as far as when we partake and cooperate with this ready-made society, one will assassinate their own self-sanctity. That is what Brother Davis had chronicalized there, is that it's complicit. We become complicit to it all. We become the purveyors. We become the minions of this destruction in so many different ways.
I just found another story that relates to what Brother Davis said about being complicit. So, here, this is coming from the county that I live in. 300 plus Gaston property values lowered in appeals. So this is what happened. Okay, you come out and you had the tax appraiser come out to these properties and you say, you know, I don't know what formula they use, but they're saying that there was an average increase of 23% in property taxes across the county. Well, 300 of those property owners said, or let me say controllers, because they don't own it. If they don't pay their taxes, it's going to get taken. But they said, wait a minute, this is too much. I don't agree with this. I'm appealing the decision. So they weren't complacent. They weren't accepting that. And so they went and they appealed it, and they won their appeal.
Yep. And this is, I think, what we all have to do collectively, is that we have to take a survey and an inventory of, okay, what am I doing? Who am I? Where's the responsibility of me? Where is the, what's the objective? What's my objective? Why am I living by someone else's objective? If I'm living by someone else's objective, that means that they have two lives and I don't have none. When am I going to take my life back? When am I going to perpetuate my overall interest based off of my talents that were given to me as a granted gift of love? When am I going to use that? And what do I want to use that for? Do I want to take that overall energy that I have and surrender it to someone else who's already have a defined objective, and the methods in which how they carry that out is already in objection to me as a living person, as a living being. I don't resonate that way. But if we ever give any form of energy to that, what we'll notice is that our frequency and our resonance will start to become very shallow and very, very... Excuse me. It will not resonate in a high frequency. We'll be a low frequency individual. And a low frequency individual resonates closer to death. And so I think it's real important for us to self-inventory. And then after you make that self-inventory, then find how do you want to represent your overall capabilities? And align yourselves and align ourselves with other individuals that share that. And that sharing of it is not something just because, one thing that I don't do is I don't join organizations. What I try to do is I try to collaborate with people. Because organization, people don't need to create an entity. What I think is very important is that people need to develop the relationships. Because when we develop organizations, it centralizes the energy so that it can be gathered up at the appropriate time. By who? Determines as to who sees the value of that organization. But the value of individual relationships is determined by the individuals that are engaging in that relationship. It's more direct because it's more sincere. We don't have to create what's fake to represent what's real. We should only represent what's real by what is real. So, you know, there's a couple of places I wanted to go and with this, and we'll definitely go with it. But tomorrow's show, I think, is going to be really, really significant. Hope to have you all there. And I just want to say much love, much respect. Thanks, Keith, calling in, Scotty, always for being there and having this forum for us. We need to support Black Talk Radio Network. Please give financial donations. Brother Davis, as always, just your overall participation is so vital. You and Sister Davis and all of those of you that listen to Tando Radio Show, Black Talk Radio Network, we truly, truly, truly do appreciate you. And we appreciate everything that you do to support this network. And we also would ask that for those of you, please support this network that haven't done so as of yet. And those that have, continue to do so, because I know and you know by your overall participation that there is a value here. You don't have to agree with anything and everything, and I wouldn't expect and nor would I want that to be, because then what would happen is that would take away from the genuine truth of things. We need to be able to engage in discussion and see different points and decide on what's the better option and what's the better direction. So, and we need this network to be able to do that, in my opinion. So please support it. It's never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. And before you ask for a fortune, make sure you give one away. Much love and much respect. We'll talk to you later. Peace.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other...